you know, we sang that song, America, in honor of Memorial Day. Just listen to verse 4 again if you sang it. We don't sing this verse enough. Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. You think about what we put our faith in today, what we look to for protection. You know, God's word says, don't look to chariots, don't look to armaments, don't look to kings. You look to me. And that's what we need to do. We need to start looking back to God for our protection. We need to start looking back to God for our life. We need to start looking back to God for direction and get away from all these other things that we get so distracted by. So today we're going to kind of do that. We're going to start a series, I guess. We'll be doing it for a couple of months off and on with other things going on, where we're going to bring in math and logic. Kids, you ready to do this? I told y'all in high school class that we would do some math today. So we're going to look at these statements that the Bible has that if you do something or if you know something, then something is going to happen. These are conditional guarantees, and you know that. You know that from real life. If you don't turn on the light, the light's not going to come on. If you eat that chocolate, you're going to gain weight. If you don't put gas in your car's not going to move, right? If X plus 4 equals 6, we always know that X equals what?
2.
Very good. All right, good. So we always know that's true. Here's one that should be true. If it's a Sunday, we should be in church. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at these verses in the Bible. Today we're going to look at if you know me. And when I say if you know me, obviously these are going to be Jesus' words. And Jesus is going to talk about the then effect of knowing him. So if you truly know him, then these things are true. These things are going to take place. These things will happen. These statements don't say, if you know me, then maybe these things will happen. These statements say, if you know me, then... It's just like X plus 4 equals 6. It's always going to be true. And we need to remember these. And there's going to be a couple of verses today that we look at that may be a little different than what you learned they meant. One of them particularly stuns some people. They don't quite understand it. And we're going to get deep into that today because Jesus says, if you know me, you will be empowered to do greater things than I did. You think, oh, how's that possible? We're going to get into that. But stand, if you will, we're going to read John 14, verses 1 through 4 as our primary scripture today. And we're going to understand what it means if we know Jesus. And before I read this, I don't mean just knowing about him. I don't mean knowing facts and figures, when he was born, where he was born. You can name his siblings. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing him, having that relationship with him that gives you a level of intimate knowledge where you talk, where you listen, where you share, where you rely on him for guidance, when you tell your troubles to him, not just up here, not just head knowledge. I'm talking heart knowledge. That intimate knowledge you have with your spouse, with your boyfriend, those kind of things. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what this word know means. So when we hear Jesus start to talk about this, when we start to talk about the concept of knowing, that's what he's talking about. So if you know me like this, then let's read what's going to happen. Jesus is talking to his disciples and they were troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have also known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Be seated. So the disciples are troubled. They've just been told, for the umpteenth time, and they haven't really gotten it, that Jesus is getting ready to go away. They're going to be left on their own. He's told them already that they won't be alone, but they hadn't quite got that lesson yet. And Jesus wants to reassure them once again that he will be with them, that they have a future. And he starts out by talking about this idea that he's going to prepare a place for us. This is not even one of the if-thens I have on your outline, but this says, if I go to prepare a place for you, which is an if statement, then I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But it is an example of what I'm talking about. If I go to prepare a place, did he go? Has he gone? So what's he doing now? He's preparing a place, and therefore, will he come and receive us to himself? And that where he is, that's the key, we will be also. And this is the Lord talking. So you either accept it or you don't. But this is God himself speaking to us, telling us, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And since I'm going to come back. So you can have this assurance, disciples, people who believe on me through the disciples, people in Maple Grove in May of 2024, you can have this assurance that I am going to come back and I'm going to take you home. That's a wonderful assurance. That reassured the disciples. It should reassure us. But he gets even better. And I want to go through these three things that these verses tell us about what we can understand, what happens to us if we truly know him. So my challenge to you today, you're in church, that's great. Do you know him? Coming to church does not save you. Knowing him saves you. Being a Baptist does not save you. Knowing him saves you. So it's about knowing him. Do you have that knowledge? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you said, yes, I accept him as my Lord and Savior, my master. I'm going to do what he says to do. I appreciate the fact that he saved me, but I'm giving my life to him. Have you given your life as a living sacrifice to Jesus? Is he living through you? And if you have that kind of love, the first thing that you will know, the very first thing he says is, you will know that I am the way. Now we quote this verse a ton. So look in verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Most of the time when we quote this, we're talking about that word, the article, the. So if you don't have a verse to underlining in your Bible, underline the word the, each of those three times it appears, the way, the truth, the life. But I want you to understand what he says. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. But let's look at what he means by way. He is the only way to the Father. Jesus is not saying, I'm a guide to the Father. like some people teach. He's not saying, hey, I can get you to where you can know the Father. That is not what he's saying. He says, I am the way to the Father. You see the difference? There's a huge difference between saying, I can lead you up to the door and then let you deal with it from there, and saying, I am the door, you come on, walk through me. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, I am the way, the only one way. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can't reach God unless you do it through Him. See, we have this mentality today that, you know, we can work our way to God. Some people do. Or we can be good enough that God will look down and, you know, we're better than Frank over here and Joe over there. So we got, you know, He's got to take somebody into heaven. That's not the way God works. God has a simple test. Have you put your faith in my Son, Jesus Christ? Have you known Him? If you know Him, then you will be saved. If it's anything else, if it's church membership, if it's anything else, He's not going to honor that. Because He's offered His Son, He gave His Son for us, dying on that cross so that we could be saved. And anything else takes away from the glory that the Son deserves. Jesus says, I am the way. That article, you know, it doesn't appear in all the Greek languages, but the fact that it appears here is incredibly important. It says, I am the only way. I'm the only way you get to my Father. The writer of Hebrews later on realized this, and turn over, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hold your place in John. But Hebrews 10, 19 is incredibly important because it explains about being the way to the Father. The writer says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, look at that, which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Jesus gave us the way, a new way, but the way to get to the Father. So when we say that Jesus is the way, He's the only way, He's the only door that you can get into the Father, but what else is it? It's the only way to eternal life. It's the only way to heaven. It's the only way to spending eternity with Him. It's the only way to happiness and joy on this planet. It's the only way to assurance. Whatever it is that God is offering you today, whatever it is you're seeking in your life today, Jesus is the only way. You want to get off of a dependence on something? Jesus is the way. You want to put your life to work for God? Jesus is the way. We can, you know, we can look around and we can find all kinds of work to do. But Jesus says, I'm the way. If we do these works, if we do these things in our own power, they don't glorify God. They're not His work. He says, I'm the way. So think about that. He is the way. It's not a direction. It's not a guide. It's not somebody who's a prophet who's going to show you a better way to live. He's going to show you the way to access God. He's going to show you the way to access heaven. And most importantly, if you're here today and you have never put your faith in Him, He's going to show you the way, the only way to be saved. And in short, that is simply to know Him. It's not hard. We make it so complicated. We think we have to have a complicated solution because the world is tough, right? And you know, I am so happy that God gave us one way, because I'll tell you what, how many of you guys particularly, and your wives may say, yeah, I know this, you've got a 50-50 shot of picking the right one. How many of you are going to pick the wrong one on a 50-50 shot? Only three of us. The rest of you are not honest. Okay. But the wives are going, yeah, I know. Let me ask that question. But that's the way I am. If God had given me two ways, I would have picked the wrong one, I'm sure. If there had been ways, and that's why we got to be so careful. We get so distracted by all the other ways that the world offers. And they look so pretty to us. They feel so comforting. I can follow rules with the best of them. I grew up military, so rules were not a problem. You either followed them or you got some things done to you, you know. But I can follow those rules, but that doesn't save us. And I would probably have picked that if I had my choice. But thankfully, God said, hey, I want you to know my son. Let me introduce you to my son. And he did that, and he showed me who Jesus was, and I got to know who Jesus was. And then when I understood and I knew Jesus, I knew he was the only way. And that's what I hope everybody in here knows. If you've put your faith in anything else, then today you need to change. You need to say, God, I've been on the wrong track. I'm putting my faith completely in you and only you. I realize you are the way. So that's the first thing, and that's massive. The second thing is, if we know Jesus, we also know the Father. Because Jesus reveals the Father. Look at verses 9 through 11. This, you know, Philip has said, show us the Father. It'll be sufficient for us. So after 3 years, that makes you feel better a little bit. Philip says, you know, show us the Father. And Jesus gets on him a little bit here. You can hear it in his tone. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. We know Jesus, and to know Jesus is to know the Father. He's not the Father. We know that He's separate, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. But He has the character of God. He has the same attributes that God the Father has. He has the very nature of God. He is God. So when Jesus says, if you have known me, you've known the Father. You know, he used to get into fights with the scribes and Pharisees all the times because they claimed to know the Father, but yet they would not recognize him. You know, one of my favorite passages is in John 8, where he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees about Abraham. And he tells them that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. They were claiming that they were children of Abraham, that they were focusing on being Abraham being their father. And Jesus said, no, because if Abraham was your father, you would know me, because Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they're like, wait, kid, you're not even 50. Abraham died 1,000 years ago. And Jesus' response, before Abraham was, what's that next part? I am. I am. The claim of deity, the name of God, and boy, they were mad because he was telling them, you don't know the Father. But we know Jesus, and if we know Jesus, we know the Father. So you wonder, what's the Father like? Well, you just turn and you say, what was Jesus like? How would the Father respond to this if it happens in my life? How did Jesus respond? Because if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. How is Jesus, is God the Father going to forgive me of my sins? What did Jesus say? Pray, it'd be forgiven. We just need to think, Jesus is the Father. And when we know him, we know them both. And we need to let that sink in, because a lot of people think that, you know, God the Father is some, you know, big tyrant up there, and Jesus is not like him. Some churches don't read the Old Testament because they're scared of the descriptions of God the Father. It's the same God the Father throughout the entire Bible. It's the same God that gave grace to Adam and Eve, the same God that drew the Israelites out of Egypt. Same God. It's the same God that Solomon says, "What, you know, I want to know him, and what's his son's name if you know?" If you're coming to our Job studies next week, you will hear next Sunday night. Please be here if you can. You will see Job, the oldest book in the Bible, testify about the Lord Jesus Christ by name. That'll be fun. Oldest book. How did Job know? It's because God revealed him. Job knew God. And Job knew that he had a redeemer. Job knew that he had a mediator. Job knew that he had salvation in a name. And we know that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved other than Jesus Christ. So when we know Him, not only do we know the way to eternal life, the way to God, we know the Father. And then here's the last thing that those verses tell us. When we know Him, Jesus empowers us. And I want you to see two promises here. Number one, he says, when you know me, you will be able to do great works. In fact, greater works than I. And secondly, when you know me, when you pray, your prayer is going to be answered. Let's break those down. And a lot of people have trouble with this first one. Greater works than I. What did Jesus do? He came, he healed people. He prayed for people. He showed the love of God. He helped men. He proclaimed. He taught. He ministered. He was evangelistic. He shared the word of God. He explained who the Father was. Can we do all that stuff? Yes, we can. You ever been part of a miracle? You ever shared your faith and somebody responded to your sharing the faith? That's part of a miracle, folks. So let's look at these verses and really understand what Jesus says. Let's look particularly at verses 12 to 14. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." So we know that part. We've covered that. We can do the same things that Jesus did, essentially. "And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." A lot of people read that and go, whoa. What do you mean I can do greater works than what Jesus did? This term refers to greater in extent. It is not greater in nature. It's not greater in power. But what he's saying is, you believers, you folks who are going to come after me, you, the church, the ecclesia, have a broader influence, greater scope of works than I ever had. I came to Israel with no mass communication. There wasn't TV, there wasn't internet, they didn't have railroad, and I witnessed, I told about my Father, I glorified my Father to Gentiles and Jews in this little area about the size of Delaware. But you will have a greater influence because you will take my gospel, my message, to the entire world. That's how we're going to do greater works. We need to understand, as he says, that he is going to empower us to even do this. So we can't do anything apart from him. But look at the end of verse 12. He says, "You will do these things because I go to my Father." If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you know that Jesus Christ, when he was preparing to leave, told his disciples, "It's better for you that I leave." They're all worried. "No, please don't leave us." He says, No. "It's better for you that I leave, because if I leave, then my Father will send the Holy Spirit to empower you. You will receive power from on high. Then you will be able to go and you will be able to take my message to all the ends of the earth. You will be able to do what I have called you to do through the power of the Holy Spirit." You know, he told his disciples, "You guys don't even need to leave Jerusalem. Forget Samaria. Don't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit comes and gives you power." That's how we have a greater influence. We do the same things Jesus did. We may not do raising people from the dead physically. When someone accepts Jesus Christ, they've been transformed from a dead person to a live person. You know that? Spiritually. "You were once dead in your trespasses and sins, but he has made you alive." And it's not what we say. It's God working through what we say. It's the Holy Spirit working through our words into your heart and making your heart change to say, "Yes, I want that. Yes, I need that." So that's how we do greater works. Then look at verses 13 and 14. and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You understand what he's saying? You have the privilege, you are empowered to go to him if you know him and ask anything in his name, and he will do it. You catch that pronoun? He says, I will do it twice. He's going to answer our prayers because it glorifies him and it glorifies the Father. So you think, that's cool. I'm going to add in Jesus' name on the end of every one of my prayers. That is not what it means, okay? What it means, Jesus is saying, look, if you really know me, remember what that knowing means. You've got that intimate relationship with me where we share everything, we talk about everything, you follow my commandments, you live in me, I live in you. All that goes into knowing him. And if you know me and you ask something in my name to honor me is what that means, that glorifies me. If you do something in my name, if you ask in my name, I will grant it. Because it means you guys are on the same wavelength as Jesus Christ. You want to bring glory to God. So when you pray, Lord, let me win the lottery so I can buy 15 Mustangs. You are not going to win the lottery. Because that doesn't glorify God. If you pray, God, I'd just like to work a couple more years so I can reach other people to share your name, he's going to leave you working because that glorifies him and everything in between. But understand that's what it means. If you know me, Jesus will empower you. Jesus said, I come to bring life and bring it more abundantly. The very purpose of him coming was to bring life to us. And that's what he did. He simply says, I need to know you. You know, at the end of the age, Jesus is going to, we're going to stand before Jesus. There will be some that say, we worked hard for you. We did miracles for you. We cast out demons for you. And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You all heard that old saying in the job market, it's not about what you know, but it's about who you know. That's a sad fact that it does exist in the job market, but it is not a sad fact in salvation. It is all about who you know. My question to you today is, do you know Jesus Christ the way I've talked about knowing him? If you don't know Jesus Christ in that way, he's begging you. He's wooing you is the word. He's drawing you out. He wants you to come and know him that way. So that you have these assurances, so that you know that you have salvation, so that you can go out confidently and share your testimony with somebody else, so that you can go out and do greater works than what Jesus did. He said, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He wants us out there. He's left us in the world to do something. He's left us in the world to take his message out and share with others. And you can't do that if you don't believe it. You can't do that if you don't know him. And here's the thing, you can't do it if you're not confident. If you're not confident, if you don't understand what he is to you, your own personal testimony, people will not listen to you. You need to be a. Do you have to use Bible words? Nope. Do you have to use religion at all? No. Think about the blind man that Jesus healed. This man, the Pharisees and the scribes, they are after him all day long. Well, what do you think about this? Was he this? Was he this? He said, I don't know. The only thing I know is that I was blind and now I see. Would you like to go meet the guy that did this to me? And they're like, oh no. But you see what he did? He shared his testimony. What was his testimony? I was blind. That's the old man. But there's Jesus. Now I see. There's the change. There's the change that happens when Jesus comes into our lives. I was blind, but now I see is the testimony. And you know what? Nobody could ever challenge that testimony. that not only did they see it, because they're like, wait a minute, that's Fred. You know, he was blind. What's going on? He can see all of a sudden. But Fred could see. Fred knew. And you better bet Fred was telling everybody. Everybody he could. So my question to you is, have you been changed? Have you known Jesus so much that he's come into your life and he's given you the power? He's given you the knowledge of the way. He's shown you the Father. He's told you that you are in eternally secure in his hands. If you have not, today's the day you can change that. If you have and you get, you know, Christians, sometimes we get a little tired. We get run down. We forget this. We forget that we are empowered. We forget that Jesus is giving us the breath that we have each and every day, and he's given us the words to say, no matter how many times we bungle them up, he will use them. You can do the worst witnessing job you think you've ever done in your life, and if God wants that message to get through, the person you're talking to may not ever have heard it. It's the guy standing over there. You just don't know. God's word promises that his word will never return void. He will send it out and it will work. So Christian, are you doing that? Have you realized that you know him, that you have this power, you have this privilege that he gives to you? It only works through him. But boy, when it works through him, it works. So ask yourself, do I know him today? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that you gave us to know you, to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to see what he was like, to see how you would react, Father God, to all these situations. I pray that you would help keep us steadfast and faithful as we follow you, that you would keep us on that straight and narrow path, Father, that if there is anyone here who does not know you in this way, that they would come to know you today, that they would start their relationship with you, that they would open their hearts and say, Jesus, I want to know the way. I want to know the Father. I want this power. I want to be a living sacrifice for you, Father. Give me Jesus Christ. We know that you are not going to turn them away, Father. Start that relationship today. For those of us that have been Christians, Father, I just pray that you light that fire again and again and again. Every time we get the opportunity, pray that we would share your testimony, or our testimony of what you've done in our lives, share your witness, share what you are, who you are, the glory that you have. Father, may we reveal your glory in everything, just like your Son did. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.